Welcome to Yolitix, the home of cold beer and hot takes on Texas politics.
Hey there, welcome to Yolitix. This is the hangover episode, and it's almost too nice, man. We're a nice air-conditioned place.
I'm telling you.
Comfy chairs.
I keep trying to take my shoes off. Like, I'm that comfortable. Like, just
take them off,
getting man. Set in here. Okay, I'll take them off. And we have beers, and we have lots of guests, and this is, I said we should just do this all the time and just be right here. These are like theater chairs.
Our bosses are way too close to us, though, so we can't
do it. Yeah, that ruins it.
Yeah, we can't do this here all the time. So this is the hangover episode after the 2022 midterm election, and this beer, I'm going to go ahead and crack it open now because I've been waiting for it forever. It's like warming up now.
I see you have two of them.
I have two. I have the Spindletap, the proper pills from Spindletap.
Okay.
And this is from Houston. But as I crack this open, what do you have, man?
I'm having a Carbach, which is also, isn't it from the Houston area? At this point, after this night, I'm good with it, wherever it's from. But yeah, Houston, Texas, which makes a lot of sense because it's the Crawford Bach, and it's got the Houston Astros star on it. And this is one for them for winning the World Series.
So let's introduce our guests that we have. We have a panelist of guests that we're going to talk to help kind of make sense of what we saw on election night in Texas. We have Bernadine Steptoe, the political producer, longtime political producer at WFAA in Dallas. Jessica Huzman is the former lead elections reporter for ProPublica, and she is now the editorial director for VoteBeat.org. And Bud Kennedy, longtime columnist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and he told us just before we went on, this is his 50th election.
50th year.
50th year.
50th election.
Congratulations, Bud.
Is really, really old.
I covered my first election when I was a college kid. That they pressed into the duty is sent out to a state senator's victory party. It turned out he lost. So that was 1972 was the year it all started.
So, Bud, you were around and covering this stuff.
The beer was cheaper.
Right?
The beer was cheaper, and the races were competitive. And a lot of times in statewide races, you saw a Democrat win way back then.
There were Democrats winning for a long time, and that was when the Tarrant County Senate seat, which flipped off and on for 40 years, really, until they redrew it this cycle. That's been a swing seat. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time it swung from a Democrat to a Republican. Hmm. And it continued to swing back and forth all these 50 years until this year. But you ought to bring some Fort Worth beer in here and have some raw.
Bring
sometime.
Some to us next
Bud,
time.
But you came from Fort Worth.
Bring my own. Okay, so it's bring my own. I get it.
Yeah, BYOB, but bring us some as well, too. Hey, so let's zoom out on what we saw on election night. At the end of our newscast in Dallas-Fort Worth, I mentioned that the Republicans smoked the Democrats. And a buddy of mine, a Democrat, texted me right after it and corrected me. He said, no, it was a bloodbath is what it was.
Smoke was too nice.
Smoked was way too nice, he said. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, describe it how you want to describe it. Jessica, let me ask you, how would you describe what we saw with the Republicans winning in Texas, the statewide seats at least, because the polls thought it might be high single digits. This ended up being 10, 12, 13 points.
Oh, goodness. You know, I'm just going to go open this beer. it was a heck of a night for Texas Republicans. I mean, I was on your program just a few days ago talking about how this was a pretty boring election, and there seemed to be some sort of like patina of excitement for Democrats going into this election, and I just don't think that it materialized. Mm-hmm. Beto O'Rourke is a thrice failed candidate, it would seem.
Well, let me ask out of the gate, what happens to Beto now? Because a lot of people are asking that question right now. He can't run for anything else, I wouldn't think, considering he has failed three times.
But he raises money very well.
The man can raise money. Is there a place in politics for Beto right now? Well, no. Like, I don't see a place that he could, like, actually run for logistically and make that successful. I don't know that it means that he is out of politics forever. I wouldn't. I mean, I think that he is too much of a naturally gifted politician to count him out for the long haul. And there are some Texans that will kind of roll their eyes and guffaw at me calling him a naturally gifted politician, but I think it's just true. So I think he's going to be here for a while. We'll see where he ends up.
It's not impossible, you know. I mean, we're, you know, at the halfway point of the Biden administration. A lot of times you'll see churn in an administration at that halfway point. It's not altogether impossible that we might not see him land a role somewhere there.
Yeah, maybe in a cabinet secretary or something like that.
Just me saying something, but if it happens, that's me being the first one to say it.
What do you think, Bernadine? What happens to Beto O'Rourke?
Well,
next?
He could become a cabinet secretary because he can raise money and he knows how to campaign. Unfortunately, he's campaigning and running for office in a state that's Republican. And the Republicans at this point are not ready to throw out their incumbents. So he would be excellent as a cabinet member in a Democratic administration, get out, campaign for the candidates, and raise money for the candidates. So I think he has a future. He just doesn't have a future today. Mm. Remember now, in politics, there's nothing definite. And at this point, he is a two-time loser in national politics and statewide, but he is not a loser in terms of the appeal that he has to Democrats. Mm.
But you know what struck me, Bud, and we talked about it just a little bit. He didn't do any better statewide than Lupe Valdez did. I say Lupe Valdez, most people are like, who the hell's Lupe Valdez? Yeah. She's the former sheriff of Dallas County who ran as the gubernatorial nominee for Democrats in 2018. And she got defeated by, 13 percentage points? That's what happened tonight with Greg Abbott and Beto O'Rourke.
He raised all this money and yet didn't do any better, but he came into this race with everything going against him. It's structurally a Republican cycle with a Democratic president in the White House, first term. I mean, the Democrats really did not expect to do anything other than hold on to their current offices. They didn't expect to flip any seats this time, definitely not the Texas governor's office. So, you know, this was not going to be a Democratic election in any way. So he came in swimming against the tide. And then, you know, right away from the last two elections, particularly his national race, he had a 50%, you know, unapproval rating. His approval rating, 50% of Texans didn't like him, you know, before the election. You know, if you're trying to win an election with 50% and 50% of the voters already don't like you, where do you go from there?
Yeah, Jason was saying something to that effect that, you know, I can't believe, you know, with his name recognition that he was, you know, performed the same as Lupe Valdez, who had no name recognition across this state. But my point to that was he has name recognition, but a lot of people in this state, when they hear that name, immediately grimace. They don't like him. And, you know, what's worse, to not be known by a big part of the electorate or to be known and have half of them not like you?
He's become more of a punchline this cycle. We saw that on SNL the other night. Mm. He was a punchline in their skit about Democratic candidates. And so people, Beto, you know. So
but
he was one of the
too.
scary sights on Halloween. Exactly. He's just, you know, he's a little bit damaged right now. He is a good retail politician. Yep. Dan Patrick might be better, but, Beto's a good retail politician. He'll wind up, we talked about cabinet secretaries. Julian Castro was taken to Washington because he couldn't win a statewide race. Yep. The same thing may happen to Beto.
Keep in mind what, Bernadine? Anytime you say keep in mind, we know it's legit.
When she says that, or you know what, you better listen.
Do not dismiss the issues that were playing against him and Democrats. You had inflation he had no control over. You had immigration now. No Democrat was going to win that at this point because Abbott has he's done a good job as making that a Republican issue. But you have inflation, you had Roe versus Wade, which Democrats embraced, but not necessarily all these Republicans. So I think that he came in with the low approval rating, but it just wasn't Beto. Mm-hmm. It was national politics. It was Biden. It was a number of things that he had no control over.
You know what I don't get, though, is you look at this latest survey by, I think it was, is it UT, Texas Tribune, that does the polls? And, you know, they ask a lot of different questions. And one of the questions they ask is the state headed in the right direction? UT Tyler. Is the state headed in the right direction? The last one they did not long ago, the vast majority of people said no. And they were very specific about the question, you know, like, you know, tune out, you know, the national situation. What about Texas? Is Texas on the right track? The vast majority of people said no. Even more than a third of Republicans said no. And yet you don't see any change in leadership in Texas. What do you make of that, Jessica? Not only do you not see a change in the top leadership, they've been given sort of a mandate, an even bigger margin in some cases than they got the last time.
You know, I think a couple of things. I think one, that the results tonight and the comparison that was made between Lupe Valdez's margin of success versus Beto O'Rourke's is I think proves this point, which is that Texas, I think, is less of a excited partisan state than a very partisan state. You know, I think that people have more or less made up their minds about Greg Abbott, and they knew who they were going to vote for 6 months ago and a year before that and a year before that. And you know, we've really become entrenched in Texas for a long time. And, you know, maybe Beto does need to go hang out on the, you know, in the minors at a federal cabinet level position and hang out until Texas blues out a little bit. But, you know, it's an interesting night. I think that it says less about a mandate for Republicans than it does the lack of enthusiasm for Democrats in Texas.
In this environment, though, just real quickly, since there was so much speculation about this, would Matthew McConaughey have done better?
Mm-mm.
Remember, everybody was wondering about that.
No, I don't think so, because I'm still going to go to the national impact. So you had, and the question that you...
The national issues that you were...
The national issues.
The inflation and so forth, economy.
Yes, and the question that you just asked, saying that, okay, voters or the poll, the people who were part of the poll said that the state was going the wrong, that's national. I think that they were looking at...
But they told them in that question, like, just think about Texas.
Come on now.
People don't listen to the question.
Come on, Wheeler. Come on now, man.
Now
you really know to listen.
Yes.
Jason, in one of those polls, if you read down in the poll, they got into, you know, who do you blame for the things that are wrong?
Yeah.
They don't blame Greg Abbott for the Supreme Court decision on abortion.
Right.
They don't blame Greg Abbott for Uvalde. You know, that wasn't really, didn't directly involve the changes in Texas gun laws.
Right.
You know, they don't blame Greg Abbott really for the blackouts.
Yeah.
Although.
And that wasn't considered a huge issue in that poll either, which sort of surprised me because Beto O'Rourke spent so much of his campaign on that. My question is, though, since we've seen these margins expanding as you go down ballot with Lieutenant Governor and Attorney General, et cetera. We know that the lieutenant governor is the most powerful position in Texas. He decides, you know, what the legislature is going to do. How much red meat, how much Republican red meat are we going to see in this next legislative session? Because the last one was attack much further to the right than what we had seen before. Jessica?
You know, I don't want to say that Republicans may have gone too far in the last legislative cycle, because clearly they didn't. I mean, like, they won pretty handily tonight. Clearly nobody's that mad about, you know, their position in the state. But I do think that some of their antics in the last legislative cycle got a little bit old for folks. And I think that there's a real sense of kind of being overwhelmed with the vitriol of politics. And so I don't know that it's that Republicans aren't going to be particularly successful or where they go from here, but I do think that like they're going to have to bring it back a little bit closer to the middle, because this was a very good election for Texas Republicans, but long-term polling and sort of long-term demographic projections suggest that it's going to get closer in the next couple of years. And I just don't think, given that we only get a legislative session every 2 years.
But they're in those off years. They're in those odd-numbered years, and we have short memories as an electorate, perhaps. And as you said, maybe some people were upset about what happened last time. But by the time that even-numbered year rolls around, when you have an election, it's all forgotten.
Maybe they've all moved on. By then, they're ready for their appetite has been starved.
Let's go down the line here. I want to ask this question about Democrats. This, I think, in the last 22 years, 25 years, is probably the best single ballot the Democrats have been able to put together up and down the ballot. They've been able to raise money. They've had legitimate people inside, you know, running for these positions. The fact they couldn't do any better, Bud, surprises me that they couldn't win somewhere up and down that statewide ballot. Does that surprise you at all?
You know, but what's happened is that Texas has grown so much. So many people have moved to the state that this is Republicans moving to Texas and voting Republican. These are people who came here for you know, what they saw as inexpensive housing and a big plot of land and freedom and liberty and the things that Texans stand for. You know, I go back again in history. And when Ann Richards lost to George W. Bush the second time, everybody thought, oh, that's terrible. Ann Richards got more votes the second time she was in the election than she did the first time. But Texas had grown so much. Mm-hmm. The economy had been so strong. She'd brought so many people to the state. A lot of those people voted Republican and turned her out of office. The same thing happens to Democrats.
And Bernadine, let me bring you and ask you the same thing. Mike Collier, he finished within 5 points 4 years ago.
Former Republican.
He got some Republicans to switch over and vote for him. You had Jay Clayburgh, who was running for land commissioner. Susan Hayes, running for agriculture commissioner. They had a solid group of people running. The Democrats did. And it's surprising to me they didn't get any traction on that. And the numbers show they went the opposite way compared to 2018.
Well, I think, again, look at the issues. Even
just bad timing for Democrats because the midterm election and you have a Democrat in the White House? Is that
no,
it?
I don't think that's necessarily the reason, with the exception that Biden is not popular. And the Texas voters just were not willing to turn over Texas to the Democrats under a Biden administration. But because if we were to look back before the gas prices went up, before the inflation, before the price of food increased, then the Democrats probably would have had a better chance. But now they're looking at their pocketbook. I think that it's always about the economy. And that's what happened now. And Texas voters were not willing to take a chance on somebody who was not a proven candidate.
So we talked about the statewide results for Democrats. Let's talk about South Texas, because a lot of folks were thinking the three congressional seats in South Texas might be a place where Republicans sweep.
They said they would sweep. They expected
to
sweep.
They talk too much. The
Republicans talk too much. So at the end of the day, they ended up winning one.
Well, as we come on here, right now, seats. It's still, you know, some of that vote's still being sorted out.
At the end
out.
Of election day, the end of the day.
Yeah,
the
but it looks day. Like, yeah, okay, that's good. I like that. I'm like start that? Using that. Huh?
Yeah.
But it looks Flores like what happened was they had two Democratic seats going in. They had one Republican seat. It looks like that one Republican seat is losing, but another one that was Democrat is becoming Republican. So, in other words, it's you know, dead even where it was before tonight. Is that a loss for Republicans? Because, I mean, Governor Abbott held his watch party down there in McAllen. Hidalgo County was bright blue on that map, as was most of the valley again. Can Republicans feel good about that? And can Democrats think, well, there's our silver lining right there. We didn't get totally eroded away down in the valley even more as we had been, you know, seeing that trend the past couple of cycles, Jessica?
You know, I think that it is a loss for Republicans. I think that, you know, the Republicans have been talking a big game about a big sweep nationally that is not as true as they wanted it to be. Certainly they did better than Democrats, but also it's a midterm year and Democrats won the White House 2 years ago and history suggests that this was going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. But this is not that far off of what we would expect historical precedent to be. And I think that given the politics of the state, given current polling, I am surprised that Republicans, I mean, and I know that this is going to sound so discouraging to the Republicans watching. I'm like, you won by 10 points. Well, you should have done better, right? But really, I think it's the picking up of seats and their inability to do that at a higher rate.
So a status quo, you know, down there, you know, still walking away with one seat.
The
status quo, as you were saying, Bernadine, where you have the same state offices and, you know.
And keep in mind, in politics, it's about increasing and decreasing expectations. And the Republicans raised that bar. This is what we're going to do. They didn't do it. And now the Democrats didn't do all of that raise the expectations, lower the expectations, and they maintain.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to look at it from that perspective, Democrats did okay. The Republicans didn't. Now, they maintained their statewide offices and just increased some of them by margins, but who wouldn't expect that in a Republican state?
Mm.
Who wouldn't expect it? So now I think that the Republicans have some soul searching as well as Democrats now. We're not going to let the Democrats off the hook because they do need to improve on their messaging.
Mm.
Their messaging gets, and I talk.
They
I
need
talk
to start on their messaging. They need to have messaging.
Yeah, right. Find messaging.
Well, yeah, they need to start it, but they do come out with something.
Right.
It just never works, or the Republicans hijack it and turn it into a negative.
But what do you think on South Texas?
Well, yeah, the only way Republicans win is if they draw the Latinos out of the district. The tremendous Latino vote that they thought was going to go their way didn't go their way. You had two incumbents, Cuellar and Gonzalez, both experienced, although Gonzalez was in a different district.
Yeah.
You both experienced incumbents who knew how to run. This was a really big win for Cuellar.
Yeah.
You had people who had been down there, who people knew, who were familiar in the valley, and the turnout was low in those districts, despite the fact those were open congressional seats. You look at the turnout map, Brownsville, McAllen, both of those seats, there wasn't that much turnout.
Right.
So it was going to be core vote, and the Democrats won the day.
And Vicente Gonzalez defeated Myra Flores, who won the special election, so she was technically an incumbent.
Right.
And then Henry Cuellar, a longtime incumbent down there, pro-life Democrat.
Right.
And there was a question whether he could survive that after narrowly winning his primary, which was a wild night.
And the Democrat who lost was the hard left Bernie candidate,
Jessica Cisneros. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jessica, who had Bernie and someone else from the fringe of the party came.
Number of progressive candidates were down there campaigning.
Right, and she was too far left for that district.
But I hate to do this, but we turn the page to 2024.
Yeah.
What are we looking at here in Texas? What do we look for here in Texas? Where do we look here in Texas to figure out what happens here in 2 years from now?
I mean, everything is about what the big guy does or doesn't do.
Yeah. Does he run for president? DeSantis won in Florida, too. People are going to be wondering about him.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think it would be really a surprise if Trump didn't run at this point.
Do you think Governor Abbott runs?
Yeah, does Abbott run? That's the question.
Abbott run? Does Cruz run?
Does Beto run again?
Cruz and Abbott are both making noise about running. We'll see both of them tromping around in the cornfields, up there checking out Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think that at the end of the day, it becomes, what Trump does or doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And, in some ways, Cruz is not as good a candidate against Trump as Abbott is. Abbott has the calm managerial demeanor that poses a counterweight to Trump. It's tougher for Trump to belittle Abbott than it is for him to just throw out nicknames.
But what do you mean by that? Because Trump will clearly go after Abbott.
I think
if Abbott decided to
there's
run,
there will be some sympathy for Abbott if Trump tries to go after him.
Could Abbott survive a Republican primary with today's
Republican base? I don't know if he would win a Republican primary.
Yeah.
But I think that he's an interesting candidate if he chooses to run. He's an interesting candidate because he brings together the old establishment and a lot of the people who don't have a candidate right now.
Mm. And
I think you can't overlook anyone from Texas or Florida in a presidential race.
Mm. Jessica, what do you think? Does Abbott run? Ted Cruz is already out there on a 17-state book tour. He's been to Iowa. Everyone expects him to run again. But do you think Abbott decides to run?
I think his book probably sells a lot better than his presidential ticket does. That's okay. No. I mean, I don't know if I see Greg Abbott running. He's so very different in terms of demeanor from what the Republican Party has gravitated towards in recent years. I mean, even as he's moved farther right in his positioning, he's not necessarily become a more vitriolic speaker or more enthusiastic or particularly angry in terms of like his treatment of the base or the media. That has not really changed. He's just the same old dude he's been. And so, you know, I don't know that he has much of a place in like the future of the Republican Party, given its current positioning.
Current state. What do you think, Bernadine? Greg Abbott, can you see him running for president?
No. I think that he's happy and satisfied where he is. I don't think that he welcomes the type of campaigning that he would have to do. Now he could raise the money, but keep in mind now, he's going to be raising money against other national Republicans. And but you know what? And I'm going to throw this out.
Throw it out, Bernadine.
Throw it.
I would be surprised if Trump ran.
He's announcing on the 14th, right?
No.
He said, I have an announcement.
He's announcing something. Yeah, we don't know what it is, but he's announcing something.
And then he didn't do well during tonight's election.
With his candidates.
Yeah, right. I would be surprised. I just don't see him going into it losing again. I just don't see it. And if you look at the national vote, you have a lot of the voters who now they want to move away from the lies and keeping us in the past. So I would be very surprised. Now that could change. Remember, politics, things change. That could change. But I would be very surprised if Trump ran. Now, as far as Cruz, who knows? Number one, but he needs to consider if he's out campaigning and someone throws a can and hits him. What does that say about?
Well, and it was all the booze before that.
Yes.
Too. But this anyway. Is in the city in which you live.
Let me ask a question about that. And I've never been to a World Series champion parade, but do they normally have politicians in those parades? I thought it was the teammates and the former players and stuff like that.
Well, I can
celebrities, dignitaries, you'd have the sitting United States in those, senator in a parade.
Yeah, it's a risky proposition, though, if you're a polarizing figure, you know. Yeah. To get out there with a bunch of fans who, you know, may have been standing out there for a while and having a few.
The risky proposition. Everybody else is, you know, throwing beers and the Astros are, you know, drinking them, waving them around, you know, and celebrating, and they throw one at him and it's a crime, you know. And yeah.
It just didn't
come off the same way. So he does need like a little shield or something. When he's
to carry with him. Here's my last question for
maybe
you.
Maybe that suitcase from Cancun.
Oh, jeez.
Here's my last question. Biggest headline from the 2022 midterm elections. What do you think it is, Bud? We'll start with you.
Red wind, but not a red wave.
Nice. Spoken like a true newspaper man.
That is a newspaper headline.
That is great.
Oh, man.
Top that, Jessica.
I genuinely won't try. It would be embarrassing. And I also run a newsroom that covers voting stuff. And so I'm going to say that the headline for Texas is Harris County whiffs it again in terms of election administration, line management, all those wonderful, fabulous things.
That is a long headline.
Whiffs it again. Can we just say Harris County whiffs it again?
Before we move to Bernadine on this, so I do have to ask you there, Jessica, you all cover the mechanics of voting, and you know, never has that been more important than it is in this day and age. Do you get the sense, you know, because you have crews all over the country, was there a sense of relief tonight that it was a little bit of a sleeper in a lot of cases?
You know what? I really think that it was. I've been covering the mechanics of voting for a long time, and something that election administrators across the country say to me is that, like, they, like, pray for wide margins and a quick result because there are no problems, and you can have both of those things. If the margins are wide, if the turnout is low enough, like, and you can manage those expectations. And I think what we got tonight was the most boring election anybody could hope for, and I mean that in terms of the election administration, I mean that in like the most positive way.
And that's a good thing in that case.
I hope that no one remembers like what their voting experience was like in 3 days.
Right. And you know, of course, we may be getting ahead of ourselves because we don't know what it's going to be like in the days ahead as some of that vote is still being counted in some parts of the country. And who knows if it'll be accepted. 538, by the way, going into tonight, said that Texas had more election deniers on the ballot than any other state, and most of them were in safe territory to be, you know, rubber stamp reelected. And I haven't counted to see, you know, where that landed, but, you know, that was the prediction going into the night. Bernadine, your headline for 2022.
Where do both parties go from here?
You think both of them have soul searching in Texas?
Yeah.
But if
because they both just, I agree, a win is a win.
But if I'm a Republican, I'm like, this was a good night. This was a great night for us.
They won.
But they widened their margins from 2018.
Jason Whiteley, that's not what politics is about. You win, but when you get out there and start, because look at races, especially those competitive races. If they start with these expectations, when they see those races going a different way, they start talking about bringing down expectations. Right. And when you don't reach what you have got out there and told everyone that you're going to do, you don't win. You might win that election, but you don't win the narratives. Mm.
So you're saying you needed to expand the number of seats that you have and the number of places where your reach is greater, not just expand your margin where you've already won.
Yeah, especially the reach. Mm-hmm. Because as we talked about tonight, sooner or later, the Republicans are going to start losing because they're not expanding. They might be what they're, and Texas is still a low turnout state.
Oh, yeah.
So what they're doing
Beto O'Rourke always says it's a non-voting state. It's not a red state. It's a non-voting state.
Yes.
And, you know, when we were down in the Valley not long ago, a very smart professor down there said, if you saw the turnout in the major urban areas like you see among white people in the rural areas, this state would be a whole different state.
Yes.
It would be crazy competitive.
And then the numbers on that too, Jessica. I think there were, 17.5 million people registered to vote in this state? And the turnout was, what, 7 million, 7.5 million, maybe, for the midterm election?
Sure, yeah. I mean, Texas has, and has for decades, had among the worst voter turnout in the entire country. And so, you know, Beto has a point, right? This is a non-voting state. Most people who are eligible to vote in Texas do not regularly vote. But most people who regularly vote Republican.
Yeah, they vote Republican.
And so I think that, you know, I like my Democrat friends love to text me and call me and yell at me and say, like, if we just turn out all of the people who don't vote but would vote for us if they did turn out, then we would win so much. And I'm like, okay, but you're not, though.
And
so I think that that's really the issue, is that they're probably right. If they were better organized, if the state Democratic Party had a better campaign arm and wasn't an absolute disaster.
Or had a campaign arm at all, then
perhaps they could capitalize on some of this lack of enthusiasm in the Texas Republican Party, but right now they're not. And so we're going to stay a non-voting state until they can do that, and they have some self-reflection to do.
My closing thought is, do not sleep on this next legislative session. I guarantee you it's going to have a lot of red meat in it for the base, because, you know, everybody got reelected and by wider margins. Yeah. And that'll be seen as a mandate. You watch.
I think you're spot on that. At the end of the day, the 2024 election is now underway.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It is now underway. Oh, yes. With the midterm now behind us, the 2024 election is underway. Thanks for staying up late for the hangover episode. We have a few beers here that we had to crack open. I hope we can stay awake.
I'm taking these shoes back off. I'm going to lean back and sleep in this chair tonight.
I know. It is a nice chair. We have to be up early in the morning.
No.
Bud, thanks so much for coming in, as always. Congratulations on the milestone. Bud Kennedy from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Jessica Huzman from the VoteBeat.org, the editorial director at VoteBeat.org, and Bernadine Steptoe already checking her messages now.
I know, that's right. Bernadine's looking at Google Maps, see how long it's going to take to get home.
From WFAA, the political director, WFAA. Thanks again. Thanks. Hold on, Bernadine. No choke on that.
Choking on her beer now.
No choke on that one, Bernadine. Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it.